Milwaukee's 102.9, The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
This Bob and Brian On Demand is brought to you by Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew exhilarates and quenches with its one-of-a-kind great taste. Mountain Dew, this is how we do.
And now, staying between his man and the basket, feet shoulder-width apart, hands up, Steve Zabin.
Hey, Steven!
You know, if you liked that last night, then God bless you. I don't know if they ever tried to do any customer surveys regarding All-Star games or the NBA All-Star game in particular, but I would love for someone to do that one year and just say, rate your satisfaction with this product, scale of 1 to 10. Did you like the game presentation? Scale of 1 to 10. Do you think the players could play a little bit harder? Scale of 1 to 10. Would you prefer a game that's more competitive and perhaps in the low 150s? Scale of 1 to 10.
Well, let's face it. It wasn't even basketball last night. It wasn't.
No.
There was
no
defense.
Not.
It was just guys getting the ball one end of the court, and it was a dunk or an open three-pointer. It's not basketball. It's just,
right
here, look what I can do with other guys standing around watching.
Yeah. Which is what it has been for some time. The thing that crossed my mind last night, as I just gave it the requisite look in, I did not last very long. I ended up putting on Black Hawk Down for my nephew, Luke, because he had never seen it before. And being a 14-year-old boy who got to shoot his first real gun this weekend, thanks to his Uncle Jim, my brother, he was having one of those coming-of-age weekends. So off the euphoria of, oh, yeah, I got to shoot this gun, got to shoot that gun, I wanted to show him the business end of, hey, this is not all fun and games, okay?
Did you give him a beer anyway?
Well, Black Hawk Down was certainly not fun.
Certainly not fun. Right. There was nothing fun about it. There was not even, unlike Saving Private Ryan, another movie he's not seen, and I was debating which one do I show him. Saving Private Ryan has larger, overarching, more subtle themes. Right, Brian?
Sure. The man or the mission. That's the whole.
The man or the mission and brotherhood and everything else. I mean, Black Hawk Down is just war. Yeah. It's just ugly, messy war. In fact, I think Larry King's review of the movie was, if you like war, it's war. You like it. By the way, my brother-in-law Todd, who I've dubbed the man who knows just enough to be dangerous, just enough, he knows just enough to be a little bit wrong about things, says to me during the movie, I kid you not, is this the first Black Hawk Down?
Huh? Yeah, there was a sequel?
Like it was...
Like Back to the Future? Like Marty and Doc Brown had come racing up in a car?
Yes.
Fast and Furious?
Is this the first Black Hawk Down?
Rocky?
Or is this the second one? And I'm like, yeah, bro, this is the one. This is it. And instead of going, oh, yeah, my bad, that was stupid, he then sits silently for about 2 minutes and says, you sure? Because what was the one that...
So he doubles down.
What was he thinking of?
Some other war movie. There have been a lot, by the way.
What war movie is thinking of, like
Sniper or Lone Survivor or something like that.
Okay. So anyway.
All right. Boy, you're being generous. I like that, Brian. Thank you.
Who knows what a 14-year-old boy.
We're going to give you a fourth timeout for that this morning.
You're
awarded one timeout for generosity.
I didn't know we had that.
Fantastic.
I'm just introducing it this morning.
Yeah.
It's on a trial basis.
Hey, who's bringing the red challenge flag to Mexico for when we have to challenge each other on something to stand up and throw it into the crowd?
We should get Rogan's Shoes or Boucher or somebody like that to sponsor it. Oh, the Boucher red flag is out.
There you go.
Yeah, bam.
Maybe we have a red flag that we give to the audience. They can throw it on us to challenge something we say during the segment.
You wouldn't get through you wouldn't
5
minutes.
One challenge.
There's a limited number of challenges.
One challenge. Who gets it? Who holds it?
Right. Does everyone get the crowd in general?
No, we'd put it on a little table.
And they can run
the middle
up.
Aisle. Little table, middle aisle. You can run up, grab it, throw it at us.
I love that. For a week, we have a challenge flag, but there's
challenge
just
flag.
One during Sports with Zabe. Yeah, I like that.
Two.
No, one.
Well, here, if the first challenge is upheld, you get a second.
We put it back on the table
yes.
then?
Yes, if the first challenge is valid, after they challenge us.
Who's going to determine?
We will.
Us.
The panel.
Yeah.
So they're going to challenge us, and we're going to rule whether they're right or wrong.
The referees get to rule whether they were right or wrong when they go to the replay booth, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's the same deal.
Ryan, don't overthink this. It's just us. We'll decide if the first challenge was lame and stupid and did not prove its point, then you're done. We're done for the day.
Yeah. Okay.
No, but how about? No, we're done. Done. Challenges are done.
Challenge is over. Challenge is over. That's it. You used your one, Lou. It's no good.
I like that. The challenge flag in Mexico. Good. Mm.
Okay, good. So we got that. So anyway, I don't know what a young 14-year-old boy goes to bed thinking about after he's seen Black Hawk Down for the first time. But, you know, hopefully it balanced off his bloodlust for lead that he got from earlier in the weekend with my brother. That, yes, guns, they can be exciting, but not when you're having them shot at you. So there. Okay, where was I? So I'm watching the All-Star game, brief look in. Okay, that's great. No one's trying. Blah, blah, blah. Tune away, pop in the DVD, we're done. I'm not worried about, how's the game going to turn out?
I think we're
who's going to win?
I think we're down to baseball for the only competitive All-Star game.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Pretty much it. Every other one sucks. So I started thinking, well, when did the game get to be this much of a joke? And certainly it did not happen overnight. It happened slowly over the years. Otherwise, if it happened overnight, people would be in an uproar. You'd have remembered the articles going, hey, when did people stop trying in the All-Star game? Like, totally not trying. It just slowly, slowly crept slower and slower and slower. So I saw somebody on Twitter mention the fact that in the 1987 NBA All-Star game, Hakeem Olajuwon fouled out.
What now?
What the hell did you just say?
You heard me. Hakeem Olajuwon fouled out in the 1987 NBA All-Star game. So that sent me scurrying to the YouTubes.
Steve, you realize you've gone back 30 years.
I understand that.
You had to go back 30 years to find an All-Star game where guys tried.
Well, it's not that I'm not trying to prove a point. I really am not. I'm just trying to figure this out myself. So I went back to the 87 NBA All-Star game, and I found a little sequence of YouTube clips, some sort of highlight clips, and it's handily posted at zabe.com right now.
I'm looking at
Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. When you watch the highlight clips from the 87 All-Star game, and you think about what you saw last night, you are shocked at what the 87 All-Star game looked like. It looked like a real basketball game. Was it a bit looser in terms of the flow and the behind-the-back passes and whatnot? Yes, it was a little bit looser. Maybe 10, 15% looser. But there were hands flying up to try to block shots. Guys had to adjust midair. Guys were hustling back on defense. Look at that footage from 1987. And just say to yourself, wow,
they can played like a real really game. Can you tell how good a basketball player is if he's not being defended?
No, and that's the thing about how the All-Star game is.
That's
now.
A great point.
Thank you.
Five timeouts for you.
Five.
I'm awarding another timeout to Brian, Steve. That's a great
he'll never
question.
Use them. He'll never use them all, Bob. Ice the kicker three timeouts in a row. It's burning them.
And that's why I'm handing them out so generously. Oh.
I think I'll just stretch. Hey. All right, time in. We're good.
All right.
That's one.
I'm watching this clip, and right off
the
bat, Michael
back
Jordan.
Yet. We're not back yet because TV is still out for commercial. Brian, you call these timeouts. They are for a minimum amount of time. Oh, I went to go drink my soda. TV is still in a commercial. You just sit tight.
Well,
I've used all the time.
And we're back.
Oh, okay. Oh, here, I was going to say, if we need some music, here,
we'll save it for the next time.
There's some nice interlude music that we can play during the timeouts.
Oh, very nice. That doesn't say relax.
And we would eat.
I don't know what.
What was Kramer wolfing down when he?
Kramer?
Yeah. When he had his Merv Griffin set, and he went to spots, and they said, and we're back. Did he have a box of Ritz crackers or something like that he was eating?
He had a sleeve of Ritz crackers in his briefcase
right
at work.
I'm getting snacks mixed up.
That's all. That's all he had in there when he showed up when he finally got a job in an office.
It's like you don't even know what you're doing. I don't.
Work here.
All right, and we're back.
And we're back.
The first play I saw here was Michael Jordan charging up on an inbound, stealing it, and scoring again.
Yeah. Imagine a play like that from last night. What are you doing, man? Playing defense?
Yeah, they were trying
to make me look bad.
They were slowly tossing the ball in like just a routine flip, and here comes Jordan, steals it and tosses it in for another two, and all of a sudden it's 6 or 4 to nothing, I think. Bam, right off the bat. Yeah. Wow, now we got a game.
Yeah. If you just watch the footage, you say to yourself, man, what a game. The other thing that really struck me was, holy crap, Dr. J was still playing and viable opposite Michael Jordan?
Really?
In 1987? Yes.
That was the very end of his career. Well, he's an all-star, so he was still... Well,
yes.
It could have been one of those, well, let's get Dr. J in here. He's a crowd
favorite. You know
favorite.
What? If you keep watching that
really?
Series of clips, you'll see some sweet moves
by the doctor?
The doctor. Oh, yeah. I had forgotten that he was still playing and viable as late as 1987.
Well, I'm going to watch this. You'll have to forgive me if I don't pay attention to what you're talking about. But, man, deep.
Won't be anything new.
Oh, Dominique Wilkins,
yeah,
just
that's a good one.
Quick behind. Hey, I didn't like that.
How great is that, huh?
Yeah, it's good.
So that's what the game used to be 30 years ago. Now, over 30 years of deterioration, Brian, and erosion, and the explosion of salaries. And mind you, those guys in 1987, while they were millionaires, they weren't being as overpaid as today's players are. Today's NBA players are so unbelievably rich. They're the highest average salary in all of sports, the NBA. Did you know that?
No.
I did.
Yes.
I don't fault them for that.
And they are, no, I don't either. They are fully guaranteed contracts to the point where a guy like Vin Baker, bless his soul and the demons that he battled with alcoholism, he could be paid by the Celtics. He could literally crawl into a bottle and be unable to play, and they couldn't stop his payments from coming. That's how guaranteed NBA deals are. And because the league is so healthy financially, and because the roster size is the smallest amongst all the four professional team sports, just 15 guys, mo' money. So would an NBA All-Star game with today's players, in which they actually try to some degree, be great, be meh, or would it suck?
It would be better than what we had last night. I think it might be meh, but I don't think it would be suck. Brian, your thoughts. You're on fire this morning.
Maybe they don't want to get anybody hurt. You know, people get hurt because they're being defended.
Did the boys in 87 look like they were worried about that?
No. Not especially.
They sure don't.
And are there any, like, historic horrible injuries coming from NBA All-Star games?
Not that I can recall, no. Maybe a sprain. I mean,
is there going to be like a hard foul in an NBA All-Star game somewhere?
Right. It's not like you had the NBA Finals where Kurt Rambis and Michael Cooper were doling out wood naps.
You mean like
it's like Kevin McHale going?
You mean
up
like
for
Pete
layups.
Rose and Ray Fosse in an All-Star game career ender?
Right. A play in which I insist Pete Rose stumbled, which is why he ended up barreling shoulder first. He might have anyway, because Pete Rose is an a-hole, but you know. Was and is. Did you see where Pete Rose admitted he's still gambling?
No.
Yeah.
I didn't actually see an article, but I just assumed. Why quit now? Right. He's sitting in casinos doing autographs. What has he done to make me think he wasn't gambling? Right. You didn't have to tell me that, Pete. I kind of knew that.
So we don't have...
Like telling me he's still getting bad haircuts.
Yeah. Oh, really, Pete?
He's still getting bad haircuts?
Yeah.
And he still sucks on the round table or the panel of experts.
You don't like him on
playoffs.
Fox?
No, I think he's an embarrassment and they should get rid of him. He's so dumb.
Really?
Yeah, I just think he's so dumb.
Wow.
He's not interesting. He's just stupid.
Interesting.
Yeah. But I don't watch pregame, so it really doesn't matter to me. And I don't watch All-Star games. And I don't watch postgame. And I don't watch All-Star games, so I don't care. If this is what they want to do with the All-Star game, is just go. People who buy the tickets know they're warned ahead of time. Look, it's not really a basketball game. It's just these guys are really good, and you'll see some great dunks and maybe some really long three-pointers. Have fun.
Yeah. I don't know.
I think all of our All-Star games,
in the All-Star game?
Yes, they should.
Let's fire that up.
If that's what they want to do, I don't care what they do in an All-Star game. I could care less. All I have to do is not watch.
The dunk contest sucked as well this year.
Yeah, that was so bad. I was getting tweets about it.
Yeah.
It was that bad.
Yeah.
I didn't see it.
It was bad. But last year's was great. Between Aaron Gordon and Zach LaVine, they put on an unbelievable show for the ages. This year, LaVine was hurt, and I think Gordon was just meh. He tried a drone dunk. Hey, let's add a drone. Okay. That's sort of interesting.
Let's add a drone?
Yeah.
Can it dunk?
Can it dunk? Can the drone dunk? Sure it can. So how do we make
to the dunk drone? Yeah.
How do we make All-Star games great again? Is it possible?
No, I don't.
Is it desirable?
I think it's archaic now.
Should we get rid of them?
Put me down for get rid of All-Star games altogether, all sports.
You'll never get them back.
Completely unneeded.
Well, you'll never get them back.
We did away with Home Run Derby for 30 years. We brought it back. We have it back before the All-Star game. We do a
Home Run Derby show?
Yeah, but we have it back for the All-Star game where we have those big sluggers out there.
Changes a little bit. It's still the same idea.
They got rid of the dunk contest for a couple of years because everyone had thought every dunk that's ever been dunked.
Had been dunked.
Yeah.
And it really has. I mean, really, in the end, you're just stuffing it through the hoop.
Well, it's also different spins, different through the legs.
I agree.
Different off the backboard, different off a drone.
Okay, they're trying so hard in this 87 All-Star game, Steve. There were four guys defending the hoop right here from the West.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah, the four of them were guarding. Yeah. We're going up to block the shot.
Doesn't anyone want to shoot?
They were actually playing basketball.
Yeah, playing hard.
What a novel concept. Now, I think if you were to somehow incentivize these superstar NBA players who all make, and I would like to, somebody listed the total salaries for the West and the East. The total salaries was, annual salaries is over $100 million for the West and just under $100 million for the East. How could you incentivize these guys to play hard in a exhibition game like this?
How?
Even guaranteeing each player $1 million.
Steve, I'm watching probably, the fourth quarter of this game.
Probably not do it, yeah?
Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, Kareem is in. Dr. J. They're all in yet. They haven't. They're not at the airport.
Fourth quarter.
They're at the airport getting on their planes headed out.
Right.
They're in the game yet with 10 seconds to go.
And they're playing hard. How about that too for some iconic NBA greats, huh? Just to see them out there still in their frisky athletic prime. Although Kareem was probably not in his prime at that point.
He was. Wow.
On the downside, but still viable. Still
wearing the short shorts.
Yep, and playing hard in an All-Star game. Yeah. Yeah, okay, go ahead. I'm sorry. How do you make the game?
How would you incentivize it, given that they all make so much money?
They already
hostages?
Yeah. It's gruesome, but yeah, I think you're right, Brian. Take someone they love hostage, put them on the Jumbotron, tied up, you know,
with a gag on in the back room,
like, yeah, if you don't win this game, we will dunk your family in a pool of sharks. That's about it. So I don't know how you could incentivize that. You know, I guess it's a downside of success. The league is so successful, the players are so rich, that it's hard to get them to really, you know, grind on a game like this. I also tend to think that if the two teams of All-Stars really played hard, it would be a game that would be played in the 70s because the defense would be so good that it would be extremely hard to score. Because remember, for as good as all these players are offensively, they're almost all excellent defensive players as well when they want to apply their full weight and effort on defense. So I'm not sure stylistically it would be the best thing to watch if guys are really digging in. And there was a lot of foul calls and a lot of free throws. That might suck as well. But at this point, when guys are loping up court at not even half speed, less than half speed, and half of the defense doesn't even break into a jog nor cross the midcourt stripe, well, then nothing that player does while loping three-quarter speed down court is going to be amazing because it's against air. There's nothing amazing about a completely uncontested dunk. You have to have contrived moments like last night, apparently, Kevin Durant threw an alley-oop to
Russell Westbrook.
His arch enemy, his friend turned and his frenemy. Ooh! And then, of course, all the players in the sideline clapped in approval like, yay, world peace is next.
You, if you're not a basketball fan, you don't even realize what just happened right there.
Yeah, man. They hate each other still, man. It's over the whole thing. You left me in Oklahoma City, and how come we couldn't win a title? And you know, so that was a nice tiny little moment. The Greek freak, Antetokounmpo, tip dunking over Steph Curry was kind of cool last night.
Scored 30.
Yeah.
High score for the East.
Curry also on a fast break by the Greek freak, just laid down in the free throw lane to avoid getting dunked on, which was kind of funny. It's okay.
Is that kind of your objective when you get to the All-Star game, is not getting posterized?
Like I don't know.
Do they still have an MVP of the All-Star game?
Of course.
Well, who the hell would it be?
Last night?
I mean, how do you determine just a...
You give
no
it to the
defense,
guy with the most points.
Like, yeah. Okay.
Dude, Anthony Davis, the unibrow of the New Orleans Pelicans, your cans, as I like to call them, Brian, your Pelicans, baby, because I know you're a big Pelican fan.
Terrible name.
No, it's a great name. It's indigenous to the area. It's unique. It's not used a whole lot. It's got a cool logo. What don't you like from Man from Uncle? I thought you agreed that the Pelicans were a great nickname.
Huh? You make some good points.
Okay.
Just a stupid-looking bird.
But it's all they have.
Fine.
What, are you going to put some guy laying in his own urine on the jersey? It's New Orleans.
Yeah.
Don't they have some kind of fierce fish down there?
They're going to put that little doll that they put in their cakes down there, that scary-looking.
Oh, what? Yeah, the freaky baby cake.
Yeah, the baby cake thing where you're eating the cake and whoever gets the baby, the little thing in their cake, that's good luck. If you don't choke on it because you're eating so fast.
Right. If you want an accurate...
That cake, Mac, good luck, but he's choking on that baby.
Oh, hey, buddy, boy, crawfish, don't bet daddy. Mm-hmm, yeah.
I mean, there's only so much they have to work with.
Laissez le bon temps rouler. Oh, yeah.
You want to put the city underwater on the jersey?
Yeah, right. You know, right, have skyscrapers poking out from giant waves, you insensitive bastard.
It's a bird. Come on.
I mean, you really can't make a stitched shirt logo out of a guy in a white tank top getting tasered on the streets of Mardi Gras. I mean, that would be accurate, but it wouldn't be inspiring.
A set of jugs, a bunch of beads, whatever.
Yeah, there you go. That would be something. So, yeah, Anthony Davis, your MVP, scored I think it was listed as an All-Star game record, 52 points.
A record?
Record?
You're watching history.
Yes.
See, the greatest performance ever. I don't know.
It's not. You have to put an asterisk by it.
Hey, how about that?
Without
52 points.
Stress in the situation, you're not going to get everybody.
The asterisk that would go by Anthony Davis's name would indicate was unopposed on every shot. Fair enough?
Yes.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Unlike, you know, the Jordan or Dr. J years.
That's
or
this one clip I'm watching. Somebody's got a bag of ice on their hand.
What, they got hurt?
A boo-boo.
Somebody got hurt?
It's Michael Jordan, MVP. It's a clip. It comes up after you watch through Steve's clip there. It's one of the four.
Oh, it pops up afterward?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, the internet has like seven videos, I understand.
Who's getting injured in the All-Star game?
What's the deal?
Right.
What's the deal? Just got a text from a friend saying, You're overthinking this, Abe. You just bet the over on the NBA All-Star game. Sit back and enjoy every second of it as your money comes home. Well, the over in last night's game, I think, was...
700?
No, I think it was like 501.
501? 501?
What was the final score last night?
It was 192, 182? What was the final?
Sorry, my keyboard is out on my main computer.
Oh, boy.
So I'm having to turn my head away from the mic.
Yeah.
Because if I don't, then the audio. Hold on, I'll turn.
This is like having the headphones go out on the sidelines.
I right, now I've got my laptop in front of me. I can talk to you guys while.
All right, there you go.
What else goes on?
Watching Brian's video up there. I want to see where somebody gets a boo boo.
190. Well, let's see. Last year's 196-173. Let me find the over under here for you.
I can't believe that you would ever bet the over because Vegas would have that line so high.
Well, yeah, of course they do. But they look at the last couple of years, and they go from there.
And they will take your action on something like that. Unbelievable.
Last season game, last year's game went to 369. The total from last night was 348.5. So not 500, but 348.5. But if we keep going this way, then the over-under will be 500.
That's Moses. Fo.
That's right.
That's Moses Malone.
Moses Malone?
He's the one with the bag of ice on his hand.
Yeah, because he's an old man. At that point in his career, he was an old man.
Okay, here's
grumpy old man that could rebound like nobody's business, even though he really didn't jump very high. He just sort of pushed dudes around and said, gimme.
Good position. He was a good guy who got in position.
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
Yes, he was. All right.
All right. Next year, before the All-Star game, I'm going to take the under in the All-Star game.
Did it go under this year? The over-under was 348.5. So you do the math on this game from yesterday.
Since they're almost at 400, I'd say no, they were over. But I think,
what was the final? 190?
190-something to 180-something.
Yeah, and then over.
Yeah, it's over.
Okay. So you're going to take the under next year.
I'm going to take the under next year.
Yeah. You are going to be cursing. You're going to be like, play some defense! You're just letting him walk down the court!
No, you
got the under!
You can feel free to go, what did you think was going to happen? They never play defense in this game, dumb.
Reminds me when Krusty the Clown gave that promotion in The Simpsons for gold medals by the U.S. team when the Russians boycotted in L.A. It nearly bankrupted Krusty Burger. And he's like complaining, oh, why did I do this?
Yeah, I think next year I'm going to take the under. I think they're going to play a little defense. I think the league is going to say, look, that was ridiculous last year. At least cross half court on defense.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be nice, right? Wouldn't it? So. All right. What else is shaking? This was a really slow weekend. Dustin Johnson is your new world's number one golfer. He blew away the field at Riviera Country Club.
How much of that did you watch?
I watched a smattering.
I watched the part where they were going on and on. Nick Faldo was going on and on about Dustin Johnson has become the world's best golfer because Paulina is pregnant again. Did you hear that?
No.
Yeah.
How does that make him a better golfer?
He was talking about there's
happy
just
happy home, said, happy
he
life.
He just said there's something about a man when things are lining up in his life and you've got a family and your wife is pregnant again and you just get focused on what you're doing. He went on and on about that like he had done extensive research. And I'm going,
you know
really,
what's
Nick?
Funny? You know what's funny? Yeah. Even though they're expecting their second child, still not married. Did you know that? Oh boy,
kids! I hope no kids are listening right now. I hate for them to have to hear this news.
Well, Tiger was a sucky golfer once his life went haywire. He never recovered from that.
Dustin Johnson. I'll say this about Dustin: he's a surprise because he's a guy who had a coke habit, right?
Well, here's what's interesting. By all accounts, yes, he never admitted to such. He walked away from the 2014 Ryder Cup. He pretty much, I think, went into he walked off the tour at the end of 2014, just about a month before the Ryder Cup, where we could have really used him. And he just specified that he needed to get away and focus on becoming a better person. So he went up to Wyoming or Idaho or somewhere like that, hung out with his not yet bride, soon to be bride to be, Paulina, and Gretzky's family, played golf and just sort of worked on himself. At least that's what he said. Rumors swirled that he had been given a suspension by the PGA Tour, which they did not announce, for failing a drug test or conduct unbecoming, or who knows what exactly. When he came back from that little find yourself, make yourself better hiatus, whatever you want to call it, It was not rehab, though. He never admitted to going to rehab for anything. He never admitted anything. When he came back and reporters were kind of pressing him on what was it, he held firm and did not admit to anything. Now he's the world's number one player. I would imagine his agent thought far enough in advance to say, you know what, once you admit to having a problem with cocaine, you're forever the, yeah, he's number one, but yeah, he used to be a cokehead. And there is such a negative, pejorative association with cocaine addiction, Brian, that it really is a stigma that can affect someone's ability to be a corporate pitch man. Not that Dustin Johnson's pitching really any products. I mean, he's TaylorMade's number one stud golfer, and they love having him on staff. But I think his agent realized there's just this stigma. I think we should destigmatize people that overcome things like cocaine addiction. It's just another drug. It could be like any other prescription. It could be like overdosing on prescription narcotics or painkillers or marijuana or you know, wine or
some
booze.
Are more addictive than others, aren't they? Or aren't they? I don't know.
Yeah, this would always happen with my former radio partner when I would just offhandedly say something about a cocaine addiction for somebody. He'd be like, hey, whoa, hey. like we were going to be taken to court for this, for slander. I go, well, wait a minute. And it was always like cocaine was this real hot spot. It's a drug that, a recreational drug that is quite popular still. Maybe not as much in the 80s as it was, or as it was in the 80s, but it's quite popular. It is quite addictive, and people often get hooked on it and need help getting off of it.
And he did, right? And he, I mean, by all...
People that I know that have contacts and know the tour and know golf, yes.
Now, it may have been because he had an addiction at the time, but I remember you telling us, that dude's got no friends on the tour.
Correct.
He doesn't hang out.
He was also, according to rumor, sleeping with other tour players' wives.
See, now, what's it?
Also, once again, not, you know, that's going to stigmatize.
So, let's just stop here for a second.
Yes, let's stop
here. What's a bigger problem?
Are you calling a timeout?
No, because I'm staying on topic. You only call timeouts to, like, hold on, I got to back up here or something. Right. If I'm on the tour, what's a bigger problem? Dustin Johnson having a cocaine habit, which we don't know for sure, and it was some time ago.
Or
the fact that he's banging my old lady. What one? Well, one, I don't really have to worry about. That's your problem.
Did he admit to that?
Yeah, right. This one is my problem. It's our problem.
Yeah, this is amazing. So I just quick Google search. First thing that comes up, The Telegraph in the UK. Dustin Johnson, drugs, affairs, and the silence that shames golf. Oliver Brown writes, heard the one about the top 10 golfer who failed 3 drug tests in 5 years, including 2 for cocaine, while allegedly carrying on liaisons with the wife of at least one of fellow tour player. If not, then these PGA Tour mandarins in Florida would prefer that to keep it that way. For the name of Dustin Johnson is one that they have for 3 months been seeking desperately to expunge. Johnson has become to his sport what his namesake Ben has been to athletics ever since 1988. A pariah, a persona non grata, a great unmentionable.
Do we know whose wife it was?
I do. Oh. I will not say it on the air.
Oh.
Sorry.
God.
Call me in my office.
Yeah, what are we?
Call me during office hours and I'll let you know. Well, I will walk up to the line of slander.
No,
I will not walk over it.
No.
Will not trample on it.
Jump up and down on it.
I said these are all rumors, scurrilous.
Right.
Unfounded rumors.
Right. Okay. All right, that's fine. But now he's the world's number one golfer, so...
And he has repaired some burnt bridges, from what I've heard. And he is more well-liked now. And he seems to be... on the straight and narrow, which is great. He is a freakish talent on the golf course. He is the type of athlete. He's longer and stronger and leaner and meaner than just about any player who has ever played the game. He's 6 foot four.
He's a big boy.
Has about 3% body fat. He can dunk a basketball. He has an incredible workout regimen. His arms, which you look at and go, those kind of look like long gorilla arms. They are. His arms are 3 inches longer than what they should be for a guy who's 6 foot four.
So is golf better off having Dustin Johnson, Jordan Spieth, I'll pick another golfer, all bouncing around in that number one spot, being turned over every month or two to a different golfer? Maybe it's Rory when he's healthy.
Better
like
that than what? Tiger?
Tiger just being the number one.
Tiger. Okay. No, Tiger. Okay. Is better for golf.
But that's not going to happen anymore either.
No, that's done.
It's over, Lou.
It's over, Lou. It's definitely over. But that said, there is this good crop of players now, and I give Dustin Johnson immense credit for where he is right now, to be the world's number one, to have won a major last summer at the U.S. Open after he threw away at least three other majors that were sitting there right in his hands. It's
maybe this is his year. We'll see.
Last year was his year. This could be his year again.
Okay. We'll see. I think who won the Masters last year?
That'd be the Danny Willett.
Oh, that's right.
Jordan Spieth.
I hate when guys like Danny Willett win it.
Some rando.
Just like I don't want that guy to win. I want a big name to win.
Jordan Spieth was the big name.
And
he had a 5-shot lead.
Crapped
and then
his pants on the back nine, right?
Shoved it into the water on 12, and shoved it a second time, and it was good night. Hey, now
look at that guy, Brian. Look at Danny Willett.
I know. I don't even remember him. I was like, right. Jordan Spieth won the Masters last year, didn't he? No, we had a whole Masters in between that one and this one. It's like, and what?
Yes. So yesterday, when Dustin Johnson was picking up his cherubic young son who's growing up before our eyes, Cowboy Mike texts me this. Think about how lucky that chubby little kid is. His dad's the best golfer in the world. His grandfather's the best hockey player who ever lived.
Yep.
His grandmother is a beauty queen movie star. And his mom is an Instagram whore. Come on, man. You can't. No. She's more than that. God bless Paulina Gretzky.
All right.
I tell what you guys, I got to go make a red flag with a weight in it.
Okay,
good. A little sandbag weight in it. I got to go to Joanne Fabric.
We'll have to inform
something up.
We'll have to inform the staff in Mexico. We will need a
customs
table. A table.
Somebody will think that's a weapon.
Perch this on that somebody can toss it during the sportscast next week.
Tell what you guys.
Get out of here.